Hello and welcome. I'm Scott Beatty.
And I'm Robert Rosenthal.
And I told Robert that's all he'd have to say in this introduction. This is Light the Eye, a new podcast where we look at Illinois athletics. We're excited for this new venture, and we're excited you're along with us. Thank you so much. We hope you enjoy Light the Eye.
I shot a group text to the Leadership Council as soon as I knew who we were playing and what we're doing, and they responded very favorably, very quickly, so I think they're excited to play. I think to play a good quality team that you don't get to normally get a matchup against. I had no idea that until Brett told me today that we'd never played one another as a fan base, so that's pretty awesome.
That, of course, Illinois head coach Brett Bielema. For the second time this month, Illinois and Tennessee will play in a game. It'll be football, this time in Music City, Nashville. The Liberty Mutual Music City Bowl is the matchup for the Illini. Welcome in, everybody. It's Light the Eye, our very first podcast. It seems appropriate, Robert Rosenthal, that we're talking about a bowl game for the first episode. I know it means a lot to you.
Yes. Yes. I mean, how many is this in my lifetime? This is, you know, since I was a student. Since I graduated in 96, let's say that. The only bowls were 99, 01, 07, 10, 11, 14, 19, and now 22, 24, and 25. I've yet to have a run since I was a student of three bowls in 4 years. So this is the high, you know, since I started the blog in 2009, this is the best level of football that we've had in Champaign since then. It is unprecedented, truly.
The fact that you rattled off the bowl years in your lifetime without notes gives some people who might not know you a little window into your mind.
That's a good point.
But Nashville has been good because as we talk now, the Illini basketball team is coming off a win in Nashville. And I heard from several people, and you were there for the men's basketball game against Tennessee, that it did not feel all Tennessee there.
I mean, it was... I've told several people since I got back, I didn't know what it was. Like, I didn't even know the part about Kentucky and Gonzaga playing on Friday night and then Illinois-Tennessee on Saturday night. I didn't know this was like a Jimmy V classic kind of a thing of a, you know, get four teams to come to Nashville. So I was kind of surprised by that. You know, my brain gets buried in football, and so I'm not thinking about those things. But I was kind of shocked walking in there that it was set up like bragging rights. Right down, you know, the center aisle right at midcourt, fans on the left were Tennessee, fans on the right were Illinois. And at least for the lower bowl, Illinois sold their entire end. So the environment was like an NCAA tournament game of you have both fan bases cheering. It wasn't, you know, I'm thinking in terms of the United Center game, right, where Illinois does one game in Chicago, and all the fans are Illini fans in this. I thought this was just Tennessee doing that. I had no idea it was going to be. I would say, you know, the upper deck was mostly Tennessee fans, but I would say the fans were 60-40 Tennessee to Illinois. And in Nashville, that was shocking to me. It was shocking. So that's why it's funny that the bowl game is there as well, because same fan bases, same setup. One side of the stadium would be Illinois fans, the other side Tennessee fans. There's probably going to be more of them because, you know, for some UT fan who lives in Nashville, they don't have to drive to Knoxville now. The team's playing in the hometown and everything else. But it was a shocking environment in there. There had to be at least 6,000, 7,000 Illinois fans, and it was loud, loud, loud.
Yeah, it what you're talking about with the potential of the bowl game makes me think of last year in the Citrus Bowl, where South Carolina obviously had more proximity for their fan base, but yet it felt like there was a very strong Illinois presence. It was loud. It was one of the best Illinois football games in that sense that I've attended.
Definitely, without question.
And look, there's no doubt. I mean, I looked up the recent history of the Music City Bowl. Their top three attendances going back to 2010, all north of 68,000-69,000 in that stadium, is because Tennessee was in that game.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be a lot of orange, one way or another,
yes,
depending on the shade in that stadium. But I think there's a good chance, based on what you just saw, that there will be a lot of orange and blue.
Yeah, this has been like 2025. You know, if we're counting New Year's Eve, if we're counting the Citrus Bowl, and you know, a few hours before 2025. 2025 has been the single best year for Illini fans on the road that I've observed. Bowl game was the single best bowl game to attend. I mean, maybe the Rose Bowl in 83 was different. I was just a kid at the time. But, you know, since I was a freshman in 1991, by far the single best bowl game was Citrus Bowl last year. The Duke game, the Duke football game in September was by far the most Illini fans on the road at any game, in conference or out of conference, since then. It was like a stunning crowd where you got in there and you would see Duke fans since, you know, maybe every other seat of their season tickets was full. After they saw that most of the Illini fans were on that, I think it was the east side, a lot of Duke fans just moved around to the west, and it became this game with like orange and blue fans cheering on one side. It was like a bowl game kind of thing. There were at least 7,000, 8,000, 9,000 Illini fans at that game. And there's not many Duke fans in the stadium. So that felt like a 50-50 bowl environment. And then Nashville the other night for this basketball game was that kind of thing. So it's become this thing this year of these crowds that are Illinois sending 6,000, 8,000, 10,000 people into the stadium, more than that at the bowl game, and everything becomes 50-50. So this is the... these are the days for road games, and I feel like this bowl game is going to be similar. Tennessee fans, yeah, they're going to outnumber Illinois easily. It's in their backyard, but they're a little, not so happy about this season for them, and they played four big games. They lost all four. They beat a bunch of teams at or near 500 or below. They fired their defensive coordinator today. They had everything else.
Who was the former Illini coach.
Former Illini defensive
Tim
coordinator.
Bakes.
And so it's this, you know, I've had some Tennessee fans in my mentions on Twitter that were saying, like, you're not going to catch our fan base. Everybody's a little restless right now, a little, like, grumbly and, like, where is this going and what's next and, you know, where are the stars and, what this was an off year and what if next year's an off year? So, you know, some were predicting that it would be their lowest attendance at this bowl game. I don't know if that's just a few negative fans that I saw, but... yeah, it's going to be, I think there's going to be a lot of Illini fans there. I really do. I think it's going to, like, this is the year, right? This is 2025, so it's the year of the road trip.
I want to ask your perspective about, you're obviously excited that there's another bowl game, but I feel like we should set this up a little bit. And down the road here in one of these episodes upcoming, we'll tell you a little bit more about ourselves. But we'll spare you the navel gazing for right now. But mm-hmm. Just for quick background, I've been covering the Illini, and I'm an alum of UVI, but I've been covering them on the radio one way or another for more than 10 years. And you have started as a fan and created a blog.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember if I dubbed the term or you dubbed it yourself, fanalist.
Yes, I put it in my Twitter bio years ago, okay. Fanalist, yes.
I would like to take credit for that,
okay.
Though, but I
Sorry.
Didn't. You take it. So you're a fanalist. So
yes.
My curiosity for you as a fanalist
mm-hmm.
is in this day and age, we've got the backdrop of a couple of football team programs out there, like, hey, we're already going through coaching changes, and some of our student-athletes have scattered for winter break. We're not going to play in a bowl game. And then you have Notre Dame. We can get into it if you want, but Notre Dame feels spurned by not making the college football playoff, and they said thanks but no thanks to going to a bowl. And here you have an Illinois program that at the beginning of the year was, at least fans were, and I would say Brett Bielema was not shying away from it,
mm-hmm.
that they could make a playoff.
Yep.
And they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
8-4. Not there was a time when you would take 8-4 any day.
Absolutely.
And yet I think there is an element of 8-4 feels disappointing because of what could have been. But yet,
let's put it this way. Had Illinois gone 10-2, say Illinois beats Washington, beats Wisconsin. Okay? Goes 10-2, just lost to Indiana, and we know what happens yesterday, right?
They're not in.
They're not in. We would have been 10-2. And talking about this, and I would have been on Twitter comparing Miami's strength of schedule to the Illinois strength of schedule and this and that. And anytime I would say something, people would throw Indiana 63, Illinois 10 in my face, and it would have been this back and forth. But at the end of the day, Illinois would have been behind Alabama and behind Notre Dame and behind Miami and not part of that debate. So in a sense, this whole, like, would have needed to go 11-1 to make the playoff kind of puts that whole thing to bed in my head. After the Wisconsin game, I'm walking back to the car in the rain in Seattle. Sorry, after the Washington game. I'm walking back to the car. It's terrible weather in Seattle. It's 51 degrees and pouring down rain, and it was just a miserable evening. And
Chamber of Commerce Day there.
Yes, yes. Yeah, their best weather in a month. And I'm just sitting there thinking how, like, that was it. That was the moment that could have been in the playoff consideration, and it's all now put to bed. For some reason, now knowing it would have taken 11-1 to get in the playoff puts me in this, like, oh, well, that's fine then. Like, you know, okay. That's maybe those losses saved me sleepless nights of, but Illinois' resume is better than Miami. How is Miami in the playoff and Illinois is not? You know, that's what would have been our life. And 63-10 would have lived in this whole thing of, you know, that's what cost Illinois the playoff, and you would have had to hang with Indiana in that game. And then Illinois fans would have come back with, hey, you know, if you lose the number one and number two, maybe you are the third best team and no one knows it. And it would have been that whole debate of over and over and over. So I'm thinking, you know, to put all that to bed, 8-4. Look, I am 53 years old later this month. The years in which I have seen an Illinois team win 8 or more regular season games are 83, 89, 90, 01, 07, 22, 24, 25.
What about 99?
That was 8 in the bowl game. It was a 7-4 regular season.
Gotcha.
So I'm saying winning 8 games before the bowl game, because they could still get to 9 this year. 8 games before the bowl game is just those 8 years. There is in no way, as an Illinois fan, I could ever shake a stick at an 8-4 season. You know, this is essentially 1990 again. 89, Illinois went 10-2. They were ranked number 11 preseason, lost a few games they shouldn't have. There's that bad loss to Iowa when Illinois was number 5 in the polls, and ended with an 8-4 respectable season. And that's exactly what this was once again. But I do want to talk about Notre Dame. Set me up.
Robert, what about Notre Dame? What do you think about Notre Dame?
What do you think about Notre Dame? I want to know your, before I give this, what do you think of a team 10 wins and choosing, like, you know what? No, we're not going to. I'm already, you know, putting some things to that. But what do you think of
them not playing in a bowl, or yes, the fact that they're upset?
Put upset aside and just like a 10-win team saying, these bowls are beneath us.
I understand where they're coming from, and I understand why that thinking was there. I wonder if they would make the same choice 24 hours later.
That's a great point. That's a great point.
I could see in that moment, because I'm assuming they were genuinely surprised. How did this happen? Mm-hmm. We don't get it. We were ranked ahead. Mm-hmm. And I think probably at the end of the day, they shouldn't have been where they were ranked all along, mm-hmm. that they're actually in the right, a better place, given that Miami beat them. Mm-hmm. But why not? You're mad? Maybe not make a rash decision, unless they were thinking on that all the way along. What it does do is disrupt the space a little bit.
You know where that takes my...
And forces some conversations. But I don't know about, you know, the Rudy Rudigers of the world who are like, I was going to go to a bowl game.
Yes.
No, yes. I can't.
Yes. Oh, I would be so mad if I was a Notre Dame fan. But here's where my brain went as you were saying that. You ready for this? It's essentially, do you remember the episode of Friends where they flash back to high school? Okay. Stay with me. Episode of Friends.
I'm younger than you, and I didn't watch much Friends, but go ahead.
Rachel was going to prom with Barry, I believe. Barry doesn't show up. Ross goes and gets his tux on because his mom and dad are like this and that. But Rachel's reaction was like, Barry didn't show up. I'm not going to prom. You know, this was this like this. And then, you know, somebody. I really think that was Notre Dame's reaction yesterday of like, my prom date just canceled. Well, you know what? I'm not even going. And they should have had somebody in their ear saying, like, well, it's still your, you should still go. You should still celebrate. But they just decided, you know what?
He's a nice boy. Yes. Go with him. Yes. That bowl is a nice boy.
Exactly. The Pop-Tarts bowl is Ross getting his dad's tux on. And it was such a moment that they could have just said, you know what? We're still going to do this.
Can we do some market research, though, for a moment?
We can.
Because we have Maisie and Ella, our crack production team.
Yeah, we haven't introduced
from U of I. We'll introduce them down the way. Uh-huh. Just give me a thumbs up if the Friends reference is hitting. It's mixed.
We have two thumbs up and one thumb down.
Yeah. So uh-huh. I'm just saying.
Yes.
One of us at this table has grandchildren.
Which one is that?
And one of us doesn't. And there's other people.
Is it the guy with
like,
more gray in his beard?
Just a reminder that Friends is now old, unfortunately.
But seriously, that's what they crossed their arms and pouted. That's how I see it.
Yeah.
Like I don't understand. Like even the statement read as like, well, you know what? You know, it was that tone. And again, what I put on Twitter after it is I read the comments from Notre Dame fans in like tweeting at me while I was sitting as Whitman was talking in the press conference. And he is speaking to, look, we just got off the phone with Mark, what's his name, who's the CEO of the bowl game. And we thank them for their invitation. We're excited to get into the Nashville community, all the stuff that is a bowl game. And on the flip side of this, I've got Notre Dame fans yelling at me on Twitter of how bowls are beneath them and ESPN is corrupt and this was just getting ACC partner in there because they're on ESPN, all this stuff. And it's like, here's what college football is about. And bowls have always been this celebration of what it will be and what it can be. And the families get to be at the hotel with their sons. And it's this like family celebration, especially for the seniors at one final game at a better fun destination. And then you have Notre Dame over here like, well, you know what? We're not playing. And they were going to be going to the funnest bowl of all, the Pop-Tarts bowl. Like, who doesn't want to see a human Pop-Tart mascot go into a toaster? And so it's like college football is this fun thing over here.
Does anybody not want to see that?
you're going for room? Thumbs again? This is why we need a camera over there or mics.
They all want to see that.
Yes, yes. And it's just – so it really is the – what is the fandom of college football in the playoff era done to people? Notre Dame, mind you, in arguing whether they are the 12th best or 13th best team – you know, when you're that far down the line, yes, you made some mistakes that put yourself there. So please own that. For them to take that moment as just this massive insult and you know what, we're not going to a bowl game is just terrible. It's just the wrong side of college football when this could be so much fun.
This is Light the Eye. We are powered by the U of I Community Credit Union.
How many minutes are we in before we mentioned our presenting sponsor?
Probably too many, but it's the first, so yes. Maybe there's a little bit of a grace period in there.
I hope so.
But nonetheless, we will get to that in a moment. And we want to talk a little bit of basketball. You were in Nashville, yep. Illinois. Women's basketball also had a season-opening Big Ten win, conference play opening Big Ten win over Indiana, so we want to touch on that as well. We also want to tell you that we are recording in the Center for Innovation in Teaching and Learning, CITL, right here on the campus of the University of Illinois, tucked inside the Armory. They've been fabulous hosts, so shout out Bob Dignan, Kevin Southworth, and our production team of Ella Peterson and Maisie Garrett. We really appreciate everyone helping us get it going. So we're going to talk some hoops in just a moment.
Okay, I want to talk about our sponsor. So if you see the logo on your phone, if you're listening to the podcast, if you're watching this on YouTube, you know that our sponsor is U of I Credit Union. I'm just going to give you the background. So I have had a website for a long time. I've done some podcast episodes. I've done different things. And I've only really ever had one partner that I sponsored with and do anything. I live in the subscription world, not the advertisement world. But the one sponsor that I have is the one sponsor we're continuing with here that has chosen to very generously be the presenting sponsor of Light the Eye, and that's U of I Credit Union. You'll remember this if you've listened to the series I've done. I've done a Illinois basketball history podcast series. I've done an Illinois football history podcast series, and I talked about this, that the official credit card of Illinois, the one where you can walk into a store and pay with a block I, comes from U of I Credit Union. you're going to hear a lot more about our partnership with them. You're going to hear a whole lot about it. But I wanted to start off this first episode by noting that they are the one person I called when I originally had this idea for Scott and I to start this thing, and we talked, because they were such a great partner with those other series, and they exist in the same universe that I do, the same fan universe. That they're at the games and this and that. They're excited to be able to have a Block Eye on their cards, on a, you know, to pull out a debit card and pay with the Block Eye. They live in that fan environment. So that's what you're going to hear about. And I just wanted to open up the first episode with a big thank you to UVic Credit Union for being the presenting sponsor of Light the Eye.
Light the Eye, presented by the U of I Credit Union. Scott Beatty and Robert Rosenthal. Want to get into your trip to Nashville and the Illini basketball win, but some people might be saying, Light the Eye. What's that all about, Robert?
Okay, so first off, it's not even my phrase. Like, it's a phrase I've used for a long time, but like most things, it wasn't even my idea. It was my buddy Carmen who came up with this idea. So here's what we have. So I'm part of a tailgate crew. We bought this fire engine. We can put up a photo here of what the fire engine looks like. But as part of that tailgate crew...
As an aside, I'm part of this. Just so you know, the backstory is I bought a fire truck.
Yes, the backstory is we needed a tailgate
vehicle. Not a common
vehicle.
Sentence that you hear.
We started with looking for ambulances. My buddy Carmen said, nope. It's got to be a fire engine. And we bought a fire engine, and we painted it orange and blue, and we tailgate around it and this and that. That tailgating crew, one of the guys, one of the owners of the fire engine, I'm just one of six guys, owns a LED lighting company. So at the Indiana game in 2022, he just showed up with an LED orange eye that you can turn on and this and that. So at our tailgate, over the last 4 years, we've developed this thing of, you know what? We're going to hang that thing on top of the fire engine. I also take it to road games. It was at Duke. It was unfortunately sitting in my trunk at Wisconsin, not being lit. But we light it on the other campus or on top of the fire truck when we win a football game. And so we have just developed this whole thing that we light the eye. And when Scott and I were discussing, hey, what should we name this new venture? What should we use? It was your idea to name it Light the Eye, because I think it's a great way to talk about what we're going to do, which is we want to put the focus on the school. I am an unabashed fan. Yes, I have a press pass, but I say we when we write. When I write about Illinois, I say we picked up the first down, not Illinois picked up the first down. I live in that fan space. I'm tailgating before and after games and not sitting in the press box. And so... we figured that this would be the perfect name for being able to tell the story of what we want to do, which is bring a spotlight, bring a focus to the great stories and the great teams in and around this community. So as a result, we decided to name the podcast Light the Eye.
And we welcome you to it. All right.
Segue.
Awkward segue? Or is this a fine segue?
It's the first episode. Like, these are all the kinks to work out.
Yeah.
This has to be the worst episode we ever do. Like, it just has to be, right? That's what the first
Conan
episode
Conan wouldn't
always...
have this kind of problem, would he?
That's right. Continue.
if you saw it on social media, Illinois, after they beat Tennessee in basketball, got a trophy. It was a guitar, appropriate enough for Music City, Nashville, and... I guess they call it Smashville.
Yes, that's what the signs all say when entering the arena is welcome to Smashville.
Because you make hits there that are
smashes? I think it's the hockey team. I think because the Predators have adopted Smashville, that's why it is.
I see. I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. I just assumed it was because you make a hit. Mm-hmm. And how's that song doing? It's a smash.
Ah, I see.
As the kids would say.
Yes. No, literally in the belly of the arena when you're going to like the floor and all this where the media seats were, everything says, welcome to Smashville. You're in Smashville. Everything is Smashville.
Well, what does one do when one has a guitar? I guess you smash it.
Yes.
And so Thomas.
It was subliminal messaging as they were walking, literally the hallway as they headed to the thing says Smashville, Smashville, Smashville. So I think they were basically urging them subliminally to do it.
Yeah. So Illinois wins the guitar.
Yes.
As a trophy, and it ends up getting smashed by Tomislav Ivicic in the locker room, and it became a rallying point for the team.
Yep.
I don't know if this is the new water guns. Or whatever for the men's basketball team. But Brad Underwood was asked where the remnants of the guitar ended up.
They are there in Adam Fletcher's office. He takes great pride in having, I think our guys took the signage in Bridgestone. I think there was a lot of Smashville or something all over it. And, guys took that to heart. And it looks good in Fletcher's office. And, it's fun. And I think it's really, really important that players enjoy winning. And, we had a nice bus ride. We had Greek, Serbian, Croatian music. It looked like a nightclub in, not that I know what a nightclub in Serbia looks like, but I was told it could be a nightclub in Serbia. Our bus ride with guys singing and dancing and having fun, and that stuff's pretty cool.
That's amazing. Not that I know what a nightclub in Serbia looks like. Now I'm thinking about all of his trips over there in recruiting. How do we know? Yeah, it's. I so agree with that statement. Like, when I first saw the thing of, like, oh, they smashed the guitar, it's like, well, the hosts here, like,
is
I hope
offensive?
It wasn't, like, I hope it wasn't like a Gibson guitar that was, like, specially made for this event or whatever, you know?
And then, well, Ben Humrichow said that there was a silence and, like, are we going to be in trouble? And then Coach Underwood celebrated it, and so it became a thing.
Yes.
I don't know if destruction of property is always the way to celebrate a win.
I don't know if they're going to take the bragging rights, that six-foot trophy in a few weeks and smash it at center court.
I doubt that will happen.
Yes. But for a one-off, it was pretty great.
And how about the game?
Game was incredible. As a fan experience, it was incredible, to the point where I do this thing. I'm sitting in press row behind the where Illinois had the basket, second half basket, basically. And it was so, as those threes started falling in the second half, the energy in that place got so big. There was that sequence there where Tennessee hit a three, Illinois hit a three. Tennessee hit a three, Illinois hit a three. And it was that back and forth. The commentators, I'm sure, were going nuts of, like, this is high quality basketball. And during those moments, I couldn't stay seated. So I got up and walked around. Like, I have to leave press row at the time. Again, I'm a fan. I'm going to be respectful, and I'm not going to cheer from press row, and I'm not going to do that. So I go find a space where I can, move around and make some noise and maybe high-five a person or two.
Jelly Roll?
I did not go high-five Jelly Roll. Hmm. He was there with his kids, I think.
Missed opportunity.
Yes. Man, that guy, like, when he walked past, like, walked through the arena, it was Elvis, man. Like, I didn't know how big this guy was. I'm showing my age now, but in Nashville, this guy is beyond superstar.
He makes smash hits.
You need to work. You're working through why you said you didn't know Smashville was hockey related. I could just see you processing it in your head. I love it. But yes, it was that last 7 minutes when those threes started falling. Like, the only down point was when Boswell missed all those free throws and there was a little bit of anxiety and this and that. But other than that, especially that Mirkovich three was just like this moment of Illinois fans. I mean, I'm sure some of those people were in New York City when they just didn't have much to cheer about a week ago and felt themselves just getting yelled down by UConn fans. So to have those moments in the last 10 minutes was really great.
And I said this going into the game, that if Illinois were to lose against Tennessee, it wasn't panic time by any means. I think there's already been enough on tape that it's a solid basketball team. But really, these four non-conference games, there's going to be five big ones with Missouri, but Missouri's not quite up there in rankings or KenPom right now. These four with Texas Tech and Alabama and UConn and Tennessee, boy, if you 2-2 in those four feels just a lot different than 1-3.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
I think probably looks a lot better in your March resume.
Yeah, definitely.
To a committee. And yeah, that's a new, I mean, would have been, yeah, you were so close with Alabama, but to get one neutral site win at least.
Yes.
And hopefully the Texas Tech win ages well, however their season ends up. Looks like UConn's going to be just fine. And Alabama, SEC, the early returns is a little bit of a down year for the SEC, but still, that's a quality team. So all in all, that's huge and should hopefully give you a springboard into the Big Ten play that begins Tuesday night.
Definitely. I think, yes, Missouri is the fifth of those, so you want to go 3-2. that was like the bar to clear, I think, in those five games is go 3-2. So you still need to beat Missouri to clear the bar. But yeah, for this one to happen in a, you know, KenPom qualifies as a semi-road game, you know, there's true neutral sites. And then this one is a, well, it's in their state. For Alabama, they won kind of a semi-road game when they went to Chicago. They were facing a hostile crowd and this and that. So to win one of these in somebody else's state, it's just really big for the resume. We saw how far it went. Even the 2023 resume, just the, you know, the 2022-2023 season, those wins in December of 2022, like, winning in Madison Square Garden and also winning in Vegas in that tournament, those two wins carried that whole season. So even when you had a down year in the Big Ten, you had these two anchor wins that you weren't in any trouble coming, you know, with the tournament or anything else. So, yeah, having two of those wins under your belt, mission accomplished with that, and now beat Missouri to put an extra emphasis on that. And, oh, by the way, Big Ten Conference is starting, and Ohio State's not bad.
Want also mention Illinois women's basketball started conference play on Saturday at the State Farm Center. They beat Indiana, a 78-57 win. Again, my only critique of that is that if Illinois would have scored four fewer points, it would have been an interstate win, would have been 74-57.
Yes.
Missed opportunity again 100%. There, but mm-hmm. It's early in the season. They'll grow into those kinds of things. No, but all seriousness, Illinois gave up a couple of quick early baskets. I think they missed a couple of switches. And then after that, it was as certainly for this year as locked in as they've looked all year long. Mm-hmm. They really put a rout early on Indiana, but their defense was incredible. And Ciara Parchment just looked like she was ready to play from the get-go. She just earned Freshman of the Week honors for a couple of really good games, by the way. So congratulations to her. I don't know where Indiana is. They're probably maybe down from where they've been in a few years past. But a Big Ten win is a Big Ten win. And it's looking like, once again, the top half of the Big Ten is really strong. So for Illinois to pass the early test, there's just not a lot of high major opponents mm-hmm. before the new calendar year for Shauna Green's team this year. So for them to have passed the on-the-road Florida State test and now to get their first Big Ten win, they're playing Mizzou Wednesday night on the road. They have to win these early opportunities, and it's a really good start.
I got texts from like three different people at the game just saying like, whoa, like I think we're like legit good kind of thing. That I really do, you know, I have friends who are much deeper into women's basketball than I, and when they reach out to be like, hey, if you're not watching, you need to turn this on, like check out this defense right now, that they are really playing well. It's just a testament to, like, I don't think, you know, people may not remember, we were talking about 6-win seasons recently, 8-win seasons. Oh, yeah. You know, to be 8-1 already, to have beaten, I think, three of Nancy Faye's seasons of win total already. You know, it's really amazing how far this has come. It's just this constant battle in my head between, like, as far as rebuilds go, we knew Illinois basketball could be rebuilt. We never knew if Illinois football and Illinois women's basketball could be rebuilt. Just where they were of, like, man, it's a 5-year project just to get back to normal and not just be the basement team of the Big Ten. So to be like this, what, lost 82% of the minutes from last year and whatever the stats were of how much they lost, to start out 8-1 and to, you know, win your Big Ten opener by 21, it's just so, so impressive.
It's also fun to see that three different players who were in uniform last year were in the building working, two of them as broadcasters. Genesis Bryant was on the Big Ten Network call, Kendall Bostick's on the radio call now, Adalia McKenzie is working there as well. So it was a pretty cool thing to see how that has all come together.
And that's playing out, if people don't know that, like that's playing out across campus right now. Even former basketball players, former football players. This is this era where there's such pride and such want to stick around and be part of, you know, what that has changed so much from the 2010s of just former players coming back to games and things like that. Everybody wants to be involved in what's happening at Illinois, and that's really exciting.
Good time to start a podcast, I guess.
I think so.
That's going to do it for our first episode. Again, thanks to the U of I Credit Union for being our presenting sponsor. We really appreciate them. And thanks to our great production team here at Center for Innovation in Teaching and Learning, CITL, Kevin Southworth, Sean Mills helping us, and our great production team of Maisie Garrett and Ella Peterson. We will be back. We plan to be during the season, bringing you a few episodes each week. We are also working on bringing some guests on the program. We'll just leave it at that for now. But as always, if you liked it, please like and subscribe. Do all those things that you might do on whatever platform you're taking this in on. If you have any feedback, maybe we need to work on our segues.
Yeah.
But if you have any feedback,
you just take it out and edit.
Yeah. No, compliments to me, complaints will go to Robert.
That's right.
Really appreciate it. Thanks for tuning in to Light the Eye.